Let us read a word of God before we pray together from Ephesians, right from chapter 1, from verse 3. Let us stand up for it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Let us pray together. Faithful God, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts that you called us by grace, has given us your word in these days. Not of our own merit we stand here, but by grace. You loved us, Lord. You have chosen us, Lord. You have given us your word. You have spoken to us until this hour. So many times you made us happy. For this we want to praise you and glorify your holy name. For you are ours and we are your people. Lord, we put our hope in you also this evening. And furthermore, Lord, may you continue to be with us. May you bless all of your people, all who have come, Lord. Bless them all for your name's sake. Lord, we have not come to just be here, but to receive something from you, to take something home. For the spiritual man, O faithful God, Lord, we ask you, may you speak in a mighty way this evening. We ask you, take everything away, what is disturbing, what is in your way, Lord, and let your good Holy Spirit work in our midst. Lord, we ask it with all our hearts and with a bowed heart. We look up to you, for you are our hope, you are our comfort, you are our peace. You have become everything to us. In all trouble, you have comforted us. We worship you, Lord, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. that we can praise your holy name, that we may glorify you, giving you the honor and the worship. Bless also those who could not come. Be with all, Lord, east, west, south, and north, everywhere on all continents, Lord. Bless all your people. Bless also your people, Israel. Bless all. This is our prayer this evening. And you will give beyond asking and understanding. Receive the honor and the praise from all our hearts and mouths. In Jesus' name, amen. We are grateful to God that we can be here, and we wish that He may bless us, that He may speak to us. And not only that, but that He comes to His right, with and through and in all of us. We have heard very many words of God. Most certainly more than at any other time. And therefore, God will also require more from us. If we look back, then there were great men in church history. And they didn't know anything of that, what God revealed unto us. They served God at their time and went before us. And together we will see the Lord. But we live in a special time, in a time in which God makes history. And when the word was read of the orderly development of the fullness of times, here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, of the development arranged by Him, in the German Bible, there the thought came to me, and the wish, Lord, arrange not only the time and that what shall happen in it, but arrange me within, into this plan of salvation of God. Let me find the lockstep and let me keep the balance, walking forward with you. Everything is arranged by God in an order. And when we hear Brother Branham say that all of the creation remained in the divine order, only man not. Man, who was created in the image of God, remained not in the divine order. Sun and moon, all of the universe, nature in its fullness, everything remained in the divine order. Man, whom God created and ordained to be in fellowship with Him, man, with whom God had fellowship, fell out of this divine order. Now we are to be inserted, and this must become such a divine reality, just as the falling out of the order, so the being inserted into the order must be a divine reality. the least of all, God can do something with people who are full of theories, who can make everything clear to others non-stop, but themselves have become a prey for their own reasoning and are prisoners of that what they think that God shall do. It's important in these days to be inserted into the divine order. And to this, may the Lord use these meetings in a very special and clear way, accomplishing in everyone through His word for what He has sent it for. You all know that in many places some things are being done on enthusiasm without that the hearts are changed and are brought into conformity with God and His word. And I think on the word which Brother Müller on that Saturday in Salzburg read of Saul. There it says, "And when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, then you shall become a different man." The Spirit of God is appointed to make other people out of us. People after the will of God. But here something comes to it. Saul had no divine promise. The Spirit of God had no point of contact, no seed which he could make alive in the heart of this man and bringing it forth. The result was that he came in prophetic enthusiasm, that the Spirit came upon him, that he prophesied, and this talk was spread, that Saul is also among the prophets. But when we look at his life later on, no change took place. Maybe he was another man when the Spirit of God came upon him. And again the old man, when the Spirit of God was no more upon him. And that also resulted in disobedience. And this again in a trouble that he asked, "Where is a man who can play the harp to give me rest and peace?" For he was tormented by a spirit which God let come upon him. The important thing of this reflection is where no word of the divine promise can fall into your and my heart, there the Spirit of God can come as often as He likes. And there is no seed in it which can come forth unto life. The difference between Saul and David was David had a promise. Of the house Jesse, thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I will show you. And he shall be king in Israel." This was the difference. David had a word of the divine promise. David was the choice of God. Saul was chosen by men. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Comply with their request." And later he says, "In my anger, I gave them a king, and in my wrath, I have taken him again." We are not here to tell God what he shall do. And when we went so far and have our program ready, then we say, "Please bless it." And then it can happen that he blesses it, but not forever. It will be a temporal thing. It is indisputable that God has blessed people in this generation and used them. And just as indisputable is that these people have not recognized themselves the ways of God, not walking on it, and nevertheless receiving manifold blessings, experiencing them. So, not the blessings, but the seed of God, as the word, must have been planted into our hearts. And you all know, I emphasized it in the last circular letter. And sometimes it's not easy, but you understand it very well, that nobody speaks in his own matter. But I may say, I'm jealous for the church of the Lord, for the bride of the Lamb, that she will appear before the Lord without spot, without wrinkle, as a word bride who was quickened by the Spirit of God and is transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And if then sometimes corrections have to be done, then God means just well with us. At that time, Brother Branham saw, it's always in the sermons, the preview of the bride. And he said, it was to him as if one came from every nation. And then two or three came out of lockstep, and he raised his voice to again bring her into this lockstep. If tonight it is being said here that we didn't reach yet this lockstep, then this is correct. I don't want to belong to those who fool themselves or fool others. There are enough people like this everywhere who need to tell people what they like to hear. But this may not be done with the word of God. But there where God speaks, there the words must be brought which have come forth from his mouth and must fall in your and my heart and then be made alive through his Spirit. On the other hand, I am convinced that we are very close to find this unity in the Spirit and in the truth, not in your and in my opinion, not in a knowledge, but in Jesus Christ, our Lord. This divine unity we will find, we must find it, being inserted into this divine order. Only then God can do the rest. As long as we as the Church of the Lord do not come into this lockstep and into the full conformity with every revealed word of God, there will always be a to and fro. And also as long as we do not discern the various voices which come to us, and drawing the consequence and say, I only hearken to that what the Lord has said through His word, that the inner conflict, the turmoil, the disagreement can come to an end. A man must make once a decision in his life. And you all know, also this Brother Branham said in that one sermon, when by revelation he got told, you made the right choice, namely, after thine own will. It sounds at the moment a bit strange, but do you know that God has given us a free will? But He knew that all whom He had chosen before the foundation of the world to see His glory, they would, with their free will, decide according to the will of God. And then everything is again in agreement. And this in a perfect harmony. And here, all of us, we don't have to help at all. Just the contrary. May God help us so that we are really helped. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, the German Bible says, the times are arranged by Him. The development arranged by Him. We may look at some things as not arranged in an order. And God looks down from heaven and says, everything runs according to my plan. If we would make a plan, this would be a thing. It would be a nice plan. Only it wouldn't work. But God has a plan which works. And if it sometimes looks like as if everything would go upside down, then also this has a purpose for your and for my life, so that we are inserted into this divinely arranged development and all loose feathers, as we are told in the eagle's story, are being taken out, and so that we can be prepared for the high altitudes. Our God has a firm program, and He will not arrange a special hour to discuss about it, and nobody needs to say something about it. And since we know that, we have received for our feet of faith a firm footing and foundation. When the songwriter sings, now I have found the foundation. Then we may say with certainty, He placed me upon the rock. And we know this rock is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if we take all that to heart, what God revealed, and believe it, then God will do the rest. Do you think that God is not interested to finish His work? Most certainly. But we must make ourselves available for Him, putting everything aside what could hinder us. And in this race, having the goal in focus to meet the Lord, until we meet Him then. It continues here, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. Not just mixing together of this kind and of that kind. Every seed brings forth after its own kind. And in every seed was this seed, so that the multiplication could take place. Here, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Not mixed up, not from man this and from God that, from me this and from you that, but everything from God in consistence, coordinated, fitting to one another, yes, belonging to one another, inserted into the overall program. This God wants in these days, and to it He has revealed His word unto us, and by grace He has given it. And if all are bypassing it, then it's only those who have their own program. People, whether they preach the word or whether they hear it, people who belong by God into this divine development, which is consistent, they will let themselves be inserted into it at all costs. And the Lord will come to His right, for He has become surety for it. But we must understand that the days of mixing and of compromises and of that what we can do ourselves have found their end, so that God now, not through you and my power, through you and my willing, but through His power in us, can work that what can stand its ground before Him. I know that most of you most surely feel like I feel. We want that the reproach is taken from us. I don't mean the reproach of Christ. This we are happy to bear. I mean that the reproach of the word, of the name of the Lord, of all what God promised and what has not taken place yet, that this reproach is being taken away, namely that God can confirm every promise and fulfill it, that God is honored, that He feels at home in our midst. You all know already when the Lord gave the promise to Abraham, who also didn't know how it shall take place. There, the Lord God spoke the words, "Is there something impossible for God? Does an impossible exist with God?" Long enough we have preached and spoke of faith. Now it must be manifested, namely in the deed and in the truth, without a pious conversation about it. Every man can speak about love, about faith, about all kinds of things. But this does not mean yet that the things are there, that they are in our lives, and that they can be manifested through our lives. We have, in this generation, we not only had an example or a pattern, but an unique example and an unique pattern of that what God is able to do. And at the beginning of every service was the nice chorus, "Only believe, only believe." The most services began with the scriptures, Hebrews 13 verse 8, John 14 verse 12, Luke 17 verse 30, Malachi, and wherever the scriptures might be, they were the basis of the preaching. And God confirmed that it is the truth. Was there ever a time, and there are people amongst us who read much, who also studied church history, or at least they searched in it? Did you ever read that all the great men of God once took Hebrews 13 verse 8 for their text? Have you ever read that all these scriptures were concretely and consciously, that they ever were used by them in these last days? Wesley, I remember it well, the sermon which he preached from Moses, "Their rock is not as our rock." And this little verse of the rock was enough for a whole sermon. But the things which are in connection with that what God determined for this time, they were not touched by all these great men of God. And nevertheless, they were men of God. But the development in the kingdom of God had not yet found its fulfillment, as now in these days. Now, we are grateful that we do not live in the days of the Reformation or in the following days after that. We are grateful that we may live at the end of days. And even more grateful we are that God has given us the grace to be inserted into this arranged, consistent development. Not only to hear about it, but to be inserted. All the others, even until these days. And you all know, I was in Amsterdam at this conference, and then this world famous evangelist says, "Oh, just wait when these four riders from the book of Revelation will begin to write. People bypassed God. They didn't hear what the Spirit says to the churches. They spiritually do not live in the arranged divine development, but are in a mixing in denominations and make pious conversations and some kind of preaching. But thanks be to God that we in these days have heard of God. Right having heard of God, that He has spoken to us from heaven. And I tell you, in the speaking of the Lord, everything is clear. If there is lack of clarity, then with the people, namely in their heads and in their hearts. But with God, everything is in an order and everything is clear. Even when I read you now two verses which seem to say different things, it is the nice word from John 15. John 15, here it says in verse 15, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." I just turn one page, only one page, not two, only one, and read in the next chapter, John 16, verse 12, "I have yet many things to say unto you." I thought he said everything. Did we read that right? In John 15, "Ye are my friends, for I have said unto you all things." And here, John 16, verse 12, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." Both is 100% right. Back then He said all things up to the last word concerning the kingdom of God and the development. For thus it is written, He started with Moses and the prophets and told them all things, opening to them the understanding for the scripture. But the Bible was not only written for those at the beginning, it was also written for you and for me, for us. And therefore, things remained which had to be revealed when the time was fulfilled for it. At that time, He said all things, what shall happen in the kingdom of God, what belonged to it. Nothing was missing. The same He would say in these days, after the message has gone forth, "I said unto you all things, because you are my friends." And when then comes the phase for Israel, then He could again say, "Now I have let you know all things. Our God can let you know everything we need to know a few times, at the beginning, in the middle, at the end. There is a need of a spiritual understanding to know that the Spirit of God, by inspiration, announced the whole plan of salvation in advance. But then, according to the development in the kingdom of God, the Spirit of God illuminates the Word of the Lord. And when we read about the seven church age messages, how God placed and laid everything so that the gospel can reach the ends of the earth. When the time was fulfilled, God sent his messengers and servants one after the other. And so I want to ask today, was there anyone before who brought the word about the justification? As at the beginning, when God made this beginning in the Reformation, it was the hour of God. And if that what was preached then, and I say before God, nobody could illuminate it deeper than that man illuminated this subject. Oh, he digged so deep, and one verse made up a whole book. And suddenly comes now a prophet of the Lord, and he says, I will show you the difference between forgiveness and justification. This comes now in the December sermon, if I'm right, this example. And he says something like that. If I have done something, then the one to whom I did it can forgive me. But by this I'm not yet justified, for I have done it. And then he comes to the term justification. And he says, justification is something totally different than forgiveness. Whoever received divine justification, he is considered by God as if he had never done it. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, he is saved. He receives forgiveness. He is part of the second resurrection. No problem. But at the first resurrection, it's about the called out overcomers. Divine justification means that you and I have never become guilty, because before you and I became guilty, God, before the foundation of the world, has seen the Lamb of God. Before the fall, before you and my guilt, that this Lamb of God on the cross of Calvary dies and brings the reconciliation. So, absolute righteousness and holiness, absolute justification in the presence of God. In the past, the people have heard that what was preached in their times. At the end of days, God illuminated all things. Nothing was left out. But there's also no need of anyone who adds even the slightest to the speaking of God. And I think I've said it last Sunday in Zurich. Our patient endurance and waiting will one day turn out to be good and will entail a reward. Of course, we could have probably have done some things, but we are not here to do something in the kingdom of God, but we are here that God does something according to His will in you and in me, in all of us. We don't want to judge anyone, but one thing would be good if all would remain there where they actually belong. I think especially those who are on their way and who presume that they can preach the word. And they know everything where it can be read in the sermons. Only one thing they never find. None of them discovered it. That namely, firstly, a call of the Lord is required from face to face with an audible voice to actually go and preach. And if that would be once found, then it would look better in the countries. But this is not our problem today. God has a crowd of overcomers who bypasses everything, who overhear everything, but not that what God speaks and what God does. Our decision was laid by God into our hearts. For no one can come to me, says our Lord, except the Father draws him first. So, where does your decision come from? He works both, the willing and the doing. Not we were looking for God, but God looked for us. And if we heard His voice, His word, then let us enter into a holy rest in God. Not always fidgeting to and fro, as if in the word of God is no certainty. Do you think Abraham was waiting for that the Lord speaks daily to him? You can read it. 15 long years have passed from one time to the next when the Lord spoke to Abraham. Do you think he went to Lot or to someone else and he said, I'm in trouble, the Lord didn't speak anymore? In his heart, the speaking of God was so deep, so genuine, nobody could take it out. Certainty of faith was in him. The same must be with you and with me. Unless we have heard the words of men. If we have heard the words of men, then we will not come to a rest. But if we heard the word of God of a truth, then we come into a rest in God. There is a rest of faith in which we may enter. We have the conviction based upon the word of God that we live at the end of days. In the same way that the Lord God has sent His servant and prophet. Privately, I dare to say that I believe that Brother Branham was the greatest of all prophets. But today we are also very private, even we are gathered internationally, and for this I'm grateful with all my heart. I believe, based upon that, what the Bible testifies, that the ministry of Brother Branham was the greatest of all, and I tell you also why. Simply because no one else had this ministry. Maybe it's simple, and nevertheless, I want to go one step further. It was the repetition, the precise repetition of the ministry of Jesus Christ. But we would like to keep that apart too, that Jesus Christ is God Himself manifested in the flesh. And William Branham was a human being who was born into this world just like you and me. But here it is about what God planned in this time. And you all know, when the angel of the Lord came to Brother Branham and told him why it has to take place, namely, as then the Lord gave this prophetic sign to the Jews and to the Samaritans at their end, and they had to make their decision. So, now, the church from the nations receive the same last sign. And the Lord spoke to him and said, as Moses were given two signs, so you are also given two signs. The one with the right hand, that the Lord revealed unto him the sicknesses, and the other, that the most secret thoughts of the hearts were revealed. At that time, the people asked, how do you know me? And the answer was, before Philip called you, I have seen you under the fig tree. And write this scripture from John. The angel of the Lord told Brother Branham literally, pointing him to it, that it has to repeat as the last sign for the church. And what was it? Just as then, when the Lord carried out his ministry, some were overwhelmed and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And the others judged after their own discretion. Everyone is today there where he belongs. But now, the same sign was given. A decision has been made. It will not be made. Oh, somebody may say, there are movements and there are brothers who go from country to country and they have a big program. Don't you worry. The biggest and worldwide program, besides the program of God, has still the devil. And right under him is the religious head who has his seat here on earth. And then come all the large denominations. One cannot look on that, what is happening on the religious market. One has to orient oneself divinely and know how time has advanced and what promises were given. Oh, how nice are the words which John foreran the first coming of Christ. So you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. There doesn't come an eighth or a ninth. There comes nobody anymore. The Lord comes and no one else. And what we need is just this stored in divine food, the revealed word. For man does not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. And just imagine now, if now God makes specifically certain scriptures alive, emphasizing them, putting them upon the lampstand, and people bypass it. This means that they have no connection to the Word of God. Here is the point. All who are part of the seed of God, they have the connection to the seed of God, namely to the Word of God. And if the Word of God goes forth, then it burns in my and in your heart. And I tell you, this divine fire must be kindled. It must overwhelm us that God has done great and wonderful things, and that we can have part in it. Woe unto us if we come to the service and are no more addressed, not getting thankful anymore, no more coming to the point that we say, Lord, who are we that we may see and hear all this? God wants to have thankful hearts, people who really receive what He has said with all their hearts. For He revealed everything to us. There is no one anymore who could come and say, this God has forgotten. God forgets only one thing, and you all know what it is. There is even the sea of forgetfulness into which our sin and guilt were thrown. And it's written so wonderfully, He does not remember them anymore. Concerning that, God has either a bad or no memory at all. Yes, He forgot it. Everything what you and I and all have done, He forgot it. Because on the cross of Calvary, a perfect price was paid. And this is also a reason to be happy. This is a reason to be happy that the Lord not only has forgiven, but also forgotten. Not only forgotten, but divinely justified. It never comes up again. He who judges himself will no more be judged. And the divine judgment we received. And we know that we were guilty. I don't dare to say that we are guilty, for this would be unbelief, whether you believe me this now tonight or not. This would be unbelief. The belief sees the divine justification from a divine perspective, not your and my nitpicking. And at every occasion, it spits up again. Not so with God. The blood of the Lamb made all damage well. Here it says, I have yet many things to say unto you. And there he said, I have told you all things. Both is 100% right. He said everything. Nothing remained. Not one unanswered question. And the same applies to this time. When the Holy Spirit will have come, then He will lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit not only makes us happy and joyful, He leads us into all truth, and the truth is God's Word. And then we recognize the truth and are set free. Who spoke in all the past centuries about the Godhead in the clarity as we have heard it in these days? Who has spoken about all the mysteries of God, of the original sin, of the election, yes, of all that? Who spoke of it? Perhaps they were reading, and then it was in order. The same we also did, who we are believers for a long time. We have read and rejoiced about it. And if someone would have caught us on our wagon and asked us, do you understand what you read? We have had to answer like the eunuch, how can I understand if nobody instructs me, if nobody tells it to me? And already a man whom the Holy Spirit brought him there, whom the Holy Spirit brought him there. Shall I say it once again? Not who wanted to go, but who was carried there, who was brought there, who was placed there, who was set there. And then God began to speak through him. And it were the words of revelation, of illumination, of teaching, and of power. Paul writes in Acts, or Luke rather wrote it, when he called the elders to come to Ephesus, this nice sentence, take heed to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. There are still ministries in the church which were set by God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then it comes to fulfillment what John writes. As the anointing teaches you, that's how it is right and is no lie. Whoever is set by God and is under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he doesn't teach first. He is first taught by God. And this not from books and not by some bright moments which everybody can have once, but through a thorough full teaching of the word of prophecy and of the divine revelation of Jesus Christ in this time. But then it is written, ye who should have been teachers long ago, you still need to be taught. Also there, God must help us and give us grace that we don't stay down a year in the first bench, but that we learn a bit, but not only to increase in knowledge. It of course didn't remain hidden to you that some philosophize about the message. Oh, this goes into all directions, in all kinds of garments, of course always under the excuse of a special revelation. All this we don't need. Paul writes to the Colossians, beware of philosophy. And then the people think, also sometimes believers, huh, a philosopher did not hold a speech with us. A philosopher has never come into our meetings. So they read over this word. But that all these little philosophers, or who would like to be one with their philosophies, caused some kind of damage already, this most of them don't know. Sometimes you have to read the Proverbs, perhaps also the Song of Solomon or Ecclesiastes, to know that the little foxes spoil the vineyard, and that one has to catch them so that the vineyard is not spoiled. Our God has spoken very clear and plain, and there is no need of anyone to explain these things more thoroughful or to illuminate them. In my Bible it says, in Psalms 119, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light on my path. When this divine word by revelation was revealed, then it's not in the head and is not for disposition that one could do with it what one likes. Then the word sinks into our heart. And what does Brother Bram say in the film sermon? He says, Satan always took the head, but God has chosen the heart. For with the head, man reasons one time like this and one time like that. But if the word of God has fallen into our heart, then it's not once yes and once no. Then it's once for all yea and amen, right or not. But there must be divine revelation in your and in my heart. God wants to restore the honor for His name. He wants that His word is confirmed as the truth, and that we as the church make up His body according to the scripture, as He said it, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. I have come to do thy will, O God. In the volume of the book it is written of me, with the offering of His sinless body and of His holy blood, He purchased for Himself a church, which is His body. And this church is the foundation and the pillar of the truth. Why? Because we are penetrated by the truth, therefore we are carrier of this divine truth. It says somewhere in the Word of God, Paul writes it, of James, Peter and John, that they are pillars of the church. And you all know what a pillar is used for. A pillar has to support. It has to bear. And we, as the church, are this pillar and foundation of the truth. God has laid and placed much confidence in us. Let us not disappoint Him. Then we also will not be disappointed. When I say this in a clear text, then it's like this. Only people who disappoint God will be disappointed. And I say unto you the recipe for it. It's of course written in Psalms that we shall put our trust in God. Whoever does not put his trust on the Lord, but on himself, he will be disappointed and will be put to shame. But he, what is it? Psalms 40 probably. Verse 5. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Also this verse shall not be overlooked and not be overheard. God seeks men in these days and women who are consecrated to Him, who take their place in the divine order according to the progress of the spiritual development in the kingdom of God. And you all know, if some things were said in a sharp way, then it was necessary. And you notice that all who should have been spoken to, they bypassed it. And people who already on their inside stood before God and wanted to be right before Him, they took everything to heart. And as the prophet Isaiah says, there will be something precious, because they, as the daughters of Zion in these last days, have escaped. Not walking around with high heels and tinkling with their feet, thinking by themselves, you just want to enslave us. We know what we are doing. No, we don't know what we do unless God has revealed it to us. What we have to do, and we are ready to do it. It is a vast difference between philosophy about certain things and about a divine practice, which manifests what we hear and what we believe as a divine reality. Beloved, our Lord has not forgotten anything. He wants to make new men out of us, people who walk in His ways, who trust Him, who believe Him, and who are available for Him. People who are in one accord gathered in the presence of God. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, sitting under the same divine teaching and then speaking the same divine language. Yes, who can become a mouthpiece of God to a divine organ which can be used on this earth so that the honor of God can be restored. You all know, all the world blasphemes God, and most have already found Him dead or even expressed it publicly. And unbelievers can hardly be blamed for that, for they themselves are dead in sin and in transgression, they have no feeling for the living God. And if they then declare him in their spiritual condition as being dead, then one cannot blame them for that. But in me and in you, it should do something special. That we say with a cry of our soul, Lord, for how long shall your name be mocked and blasphemed? For how long shall we watch how you are despised and as people bypass on what you have said? In us, it should do that we say, Lord, you are risen, you are alive. Back then you revealed yourself to your own, and us who we are alive today, you have given us the promise, a little while and the world will see me no more, but ye shall see me. Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen. He speaks, he works, he saves, he heals, he blesses, and he delivers. May this gospel become anew the power of God in all of us by his grace. And in us accomplish that what God planned to do when Christ died on the cross of Calvary. A full, a perfect redemption was given to us by it. May it be manifested by his grace, and may we be new men in whom God can put something new so that the old vessels do not burst when new wine comes into them. Ye are my friends, for I have made known unto you all things. And then, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. What good would it have been for the disciples then, if the Lord would have spoken with them about what was determined for this time? Our Lord is a great God. He has such a nice program. At the right time, he does the right thing, says the right thing, reveals the right thing. And always, those who were determined by God to see his glory in the right way, they will be inserted into this divine program. I want, for my part, I myself, I want to be a part of this divine plan in this time. And the Church of the Living God is it also. Just as Israel, we must understand this once, how Israel, as the natural people of God, is before our eyes as a reality which nobody can destroy or deny. But it is here, received the right to exist from God. Who wants to dispute it? The Lord says, I am the one who scattered Israel, and I am the one who gathers them and who brings them back. But in the same way it is with the Church of the Living God. She has, here on this earth, she has a right to exist, not in an earthly sense, but as a tool of God. We are not here to assert worldly rights. this the Greens are doing in our country and perhaps also in others. We are here to assert divine rights. But I'm asking you, of course, not to leave behind chaotic conditions. Some make peace demonstrations, and they leave behind demolished cars and all kinds of things, injured people and so forth. Shall I tell you that the same Zeitgeist has come even amongst us? Of peace it is spoken. And if one looks around, everything lies in ruins. Everywhere they were hitting on it. And everyone thinks he has the right to demonstrate for peace. If not the one who is our peace fills our hearts, then everything is vain babbling. God has people. He has a church on this earth. And this church shall now be here at the end for His glory. The bride will come forth after Him, flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone, word of His word, spirit of His spirit. He brings forth after His own kind. And then we are sons and daughters of God who don't have to make efforts, that God's word is fulfilled through them. No, we are then ourselves a result of the promise of the word for this time. And through us, more promises will be fulfilled. That's how it was then with Jesus Christ. And that's how it will be with the church. He himself was the fulfillment of that, what the prophets foretold. He was the seed of the woman. He was the son who should come through a virgin. He was the Redeemer. All promises which referred to Him were fulfilled in Him. All promises which referred to His ministry were fulfilled through Him. That's how it is with the church of the living God. In the prophetic ministry, the promises which God has given for this time and for this task are fulfilled. But now comes the next step. Now the other promises must be fulfilled through them who are a firm part of the Word of God and of its fulfillment in this time. Brothers and sisters, we are not threshing straw here, and we are not wasting our time here. We have heard the true word of God, and we came, and we believe, and the Lord will complete His work in all of us by His grace, and will present us as a living testimony of His power in this last time. You may say, how shall this be? So long we are believers, I have given up hope already. Some may say, all right, very nice. If you have given up hope to be able to do something, then I can just say, thanks be to God for it. But we have not given up hope that God will complete His work and that He will do great things for the glory of His name. These are the lessons which we understood. May God give us grace to walk forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand up and perhaps sing the chorus, Just As I Am.